As I was sitting there thinking, I don't know what else I can say. We've had such a message already this morning with testimonies. Thank you, Mary Ellen. Thank you, Holly. And Mr. Mitchell, thank you. But the Lord has given me this responsibility, so bear with me. This was a challenge, thinking about this whole topic. And I really struggled with it, but God is good. So I'd like to just get you on board with it too. With the question, when you think about the term community service, what is the first thing that comes to your mind?
Lawbreakers.
I'll be honest with you, that's the first thing I thought of. Well, if you don't go to jail, you probably do community service. So, how do we say that? Service in lieu of jail, I guess. It's a shame that we think about it that way, but that's the first thing that came to my mind. Is there anything else that you can think of? And we're going to explore a little bit how we do that. Work. Like you mean your employment? Oh, work. I'm just going to write work and we'll explore that too. Hands and feet. I like that. Spoken by the man who has them. Thank you, Ken. Anything else? Pardon me? No. Kind of ties right in with the hands and feet of Christ, doing His work. Ah, good, Tim. Pardon me, Jane? Mm-hmm. Community, church community work. Tim? I won't write all that, we know. Dwayne.
I went to a place called Family Promise Shelter. And I would like to take that and talk about being a hand to the Christ, serving Christ, God, and so without judgment.
Well, that kind of goes right along with the love. That kind of fits in a lot of this. No judgment. Let's just put that. Gee, the list got long. Now, my next question is, what would Jesus consider community service? That's our opinions. Would His opinions be different, or would they be the same? Feed the hungry.
Thank you.
You can tell I've done this a lot. My writing is really great.
You just have a list on the left. It's more general.
Yeah.
In general, it's more general. The list on the right is rather specific.
You're right, it is.
He also said, cheating with those that are dead, judge not.
So that really fits under both. I'm going to rank that a sub unconditional. Unconditionally. Pray for and with. How's that, Pam? Does that kind of personal involvement? Oh my goodness!
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, if I move it, it'll probably fall. Sorry. Did you say bless enemies? I thought so. I need a bigger board. Very good. Very good. As I was doing this, I looked at Scripture and said, now, I think Jesus did a lot of community service during his time on earth. And I just picked out, well, the list is quite long. I don't know if I'll read them all or not. I went to the Gospel of Matthew and just looked at a few of the things that he did. Beginning in chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing. Be clean. And immediately he was cured. And just a couple of verses down. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. And he did. A couple more verses down. Verse 14, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on them. Verse 28, when he arrived at the other side of the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men were coming from the tombs and met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us until before the appointed time? And what did he do with those men? He cast out the demons. Moving to chapter 9. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven. And after that, some said, of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. But knowing their thoughts, he not only forgave his sins, he healed him physically. And then there's times when Jesus really didn't do any interacting at all. You remember this one. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. And without reading the rest, that's all it took, her faith. And it goes on, and I won't read all of them, but it goes on. He heals two blind men in chapter 9. He heals a mute man in chapter 9. Remember the man with the shriveled hand in the temple on the Sabbath. He healed that. And there was a Canaanite woman's daughter who he healed. And a boy with seven demons. And another instance of two blind men that he healed. Feeding 5,000 people. We talked about loving your neighbor and meeting the physical needs and the other needs. And then again, feeding 4,000. Those are just a few. If I want to go through the scriptures, I know I can find a lot more. But we've covered it pretty well. They range from physical healing, meeting physical needs, sickness, infirmities. They range from hunger, doing what the culture of the day and the culture of our day might even question, and that's raising people from the dead. He brought the Canaanite woman's daughter back from death. There's just a few acts. And as I thought about this, I thought, that's what Jesus was all about. Community service. He was out there. And he met the needs of people personally. And that's what our second list is more specific. He met specific needs. There was a man with dropsy. There was another deaf man. There were 10 men with leprosy. And if you remember, only one thanked him. He healed a severed ear. When he knew he was going to the cross, he had pity on that man. And another official's son that he healed just by saying the word. And we could find many more, as I said. There's so many. It's worth looking if you look at the miracles of Jesus. That's a very good point. Thank you. I overlooked that, but I'm glad you brought that out. We might think people need help, and they might think they don't. That might be a dilemma. And I'm not going to pursue that right now, because that's difficult. But maybe we can come to an answer as we proceed. Now, you might be thinking, as we share the scripture and as we look at some of that stuff, Jesus was the Son of God. He could do these miracles. And we might think that we're unable to do that. How can we be like Jesus in the community when he was God's Son? He could do these things. He can still do these things. And it takes us. If it wouldn't be for the Gideons, people wouldn't receive the word. If it wouldn't be for us, they wouldn't see Jesus on a daily basis. We need to be his people. So my proposal to you is anytime you meet the needs of people, you are really doing the community service that Jesus called you to do. Whether it be giving somebody a ride to the store or a ride to the supermarket, or whether it's being a listening ear, that's pretty personal if you just want to listen to somebody and be there for them. Helping someone financially, mowing somebody's grass if they can't do it themselves, painting somebody's house, I can testify that that does work. I remember when we painted our house, we had a whole gang show up. That's Jesus in action. Changing somebody's oil in their car, because some people don't know how, and some of us do. Holger, you're good at that. Giving someone a home-cooked meal. Hopefully, Mary Ellen, you've had some good ones. Do I have to list any more? We've got a long list here. I've given you a few more. Those are all means of doing the community service that we're called to do. But there's another kind of community service that goes beyond what we talked about here, and that's meeting the spiritual needs of people. And that's the harder one. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but to me, that's the harder one because that requires sacrifice. I remember years and years ago, I worked with the Gideons for a short time. And we handed scriptures out at the Williamsport High School. And I got to tell you, a lot of people just kind of walk by and give you funny looks like, you got to be crazy. I'm not taking that. I mean, it was a challenge, and it really is a challenge because you're making yourself vulnerable. But those are the spiritual needs that people need to be have met, as well as their physical needs. So I would like to make another list. What kind of community service could we do to meet the spiritual needs of our neighbors? Those are mostly physical. I mean, when you think about loving people and giving sacrifice and blessing our enemies, that meets spiritual needs, emotional spiritual needs, if you want to phrase it that way. But is there other ways that we can meet spiritual needs? What I'm hearing you say, Pam, is you can't do one without the other. I mean, when you do something for somebody, it meets their needs more than the physical thing. You know, think of the single mom with four or five kids who can't afford to take her car to the garage to get the oil changed, or the woman who's unable to mow her grass, or whatever the case might be. It's just more than physical. And Tim, you had your hand up. Dwayne, you had your hand up? There's a quote that I took from the 12 Rocks of Discipleship that kind of ties in, I believe, with all of this stuff. It says, "Our words will explain our deeds, but our deeds will validate our words." And that's what we were saying. The two just mesh. They can't be separated. Barb. It never goes away. You're right. There's a couple other things that I'd like to share from that pamphlet that I think will maybe clarify. The church is called to be an embassy for the rule of God in a specific place. Each member is an ambassador and is positioned by God to be agents of reconciliation to the geographic community around us. Community service is a strategic response of the local church to the needs surrounding us. We talked about being a community ourselves. We are ambassadors of the kingdom. That's pretty awesome. Jesus commissioned us to be ambassadors for the kingdom of God within the political and cultural powers of this world. So what that says to me is, no matter what the differences may be between me and someone else, I'm Christ's ambassador. I can't let those walls stand. They've got to fall. And we've got to interact. Where was I? An ambassador is a representative of the kingdom of God. It involves total transformation, not only of political and economic structures, but of people. Not just those people that we minister to, but to us. We will be transformed. Our hopes for restoration as children of God, depends on the promise of God, not the creativity and effort of man. So when we go out, who do we take with us? We take Jesus with us. Yet in order to be a faithful witness to this hope, we must allow it to shape our life in the present. So we need to change. We need to be shaped. Kathy, you had your hand up. You are right. But can you just speak up just a little louder? There you go. That's exactly what we talked about. The physical need meets the spiritual need at the same time. And it's just a simple thing. I mean, that's not a big deal, is it? Not really. Thank you. There's a challenge in all this that, as I was progressing through this, I got thinking. We're talking about being bold. We're talking about going out in the community. We're talking about exposing ourselves. How does that happen? How does it get started? It gets started with us. We have to be the bold ones. We have to be the ones to go and be willing to take some of our time. You could be riding your bike instead of mowing grass. You could be doing whatever. You could be doing whatever you want to do instead of changing oil, Holger. I mean, it goes on and on and on. You could be doing whatever. But if we give just a little, it works miracles. It works big. It has to start with somebody. And that somebody is us. Now, we make ourselves a little vulnerable by doing that. The Gideons can testify to that. And anyone who's exposed themselves can testify to that. But what other way can we take the light of Jesus to our neighbors, into our community, without exposing ourselves and being bold and doing that? But that does propose a challenge. And this is one that spoke loudly to me because it fits. I don't have it all figured out, okay? Don't think that I do. But you might be saying to yourself, well, I hardly ever see my neighbors. They just don't come out of the house. They don't mingle. They don't associate. What do I do? Well, it's like the question I asked just a moment ago. Who can start it? My neighbors don't come out very often. There's a young man that lives right next door that I can't seem to catch up to talk with him. They don't come out. A lot of times I go out in the yard and I do things that I don't see anybody. But if I don't make that first move, what's going to change? Nothing's going to change. And that's difficult because we do expose ourselves and we become vulnerable when we do that. We may be rejected. Okay, we tried. But we can't use that as an excuse not to start. I'm challenged by my community. I've lived there for 40 years or more, and I'm thinking, I don't even know the people that live on the next block. That's kind of sad. So I'm guilty. So what can we do? We can just go. Go. Jesus went. He met the Samaritan woman at the well. That was not the place he should have gone. That was not the person the Jewish man should have talked to, but he went. And we need to do the same. That's the challenge that I give to myself, and I'm hoping maybe you can be thinking about that and we can see some changes in our communities. It doesn't happen overnight, and it won't happen overnight, but it can happen. That's our challenge. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would just meet the challenge. Lord, it's easy to stand here and talk about doing this, and then I go home and I just do the same thing I did yesterday. Father, I ask that you would continue to challenge me and each and every one of us to be your ambassadors. When we think about being ambassadors of the kingdom, that's awesome. You have given us a responsibility and a gift. I pray that you give us the courage and the endurance to use it to your glory. And may we see those seeds that you allow us to plant, nurture and grow. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you. We thank you that you are a God that wants us to be out there. Make us willing. Amen. Thank you. Tim, can I share one more thing? I forgot. I was doing my devotions this week, and wouldn't you know it, on Friday, this little devotion that I read kind of speaks to what we're saying. This person writes, "Dear Lord, when I sense that you are opening an opportunity for me to talk to someone about you, whether it's a word of saving grace, your faithfulness, or your constant love, help me not to be afraid to speak up. Help me treat those with whom I am speaking with gentleness and respect as I dialogue about faith in you. And for those who are looking for you, may my words help them find you." And I thought that was just a really unobtrusive, neat way to say, Lord, just, I need your help. Okay, thank you.